So for Parshas Matos, take a look at the Psukim in Vamidbar Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chof Aleph. Vayomer Elozer HaKoen El Anshei HaTzava Aboim LaMilchama. Elozer HaKoen, he's the Kohen Gadol. He tells the soldiers who went out to battle, Zos Chukas HaTorah, etc., etc. And then he gives a list of different kind of medals, Zohav, Kesef, Nechoshes, etc. Kol Dovar Asher Yovo Ba'esh, Tavir Ba'esh. Anything that's used directly over the fire, then you have to place it over the fire. What's that called?
Rima.
And then we'll skip a few words, which I'll come right back to. V'chol asher lo yavo ba'esh taviru b'mayim. That's called hagola. And this is the principle which is so fundamental in Kalim, which is called kibolo kachpolto. The way it was used, that's the way you kashrut. So the way the blia entered into the kli, that's how you use that method to get the blia out of the kli, to be polit. Kibolo kachpolto. So if it was bolea through mayim, let's say a cooking utensil for boiling and so forth, then you put it into agola. If on the other hand it was bolea through esh, because you used it directly on the fire, then it needs what's called libun. Okay, now in the middle of this entire package, the Torah introduces a couple of words here. And that is v'taher, and it becomes pure. And then it says, Ach b'meini da yischata. Yischata means it becomes pure. So how does it become pure? By being subjected to the mayim of a mikveh that's used for a nida. What is that doing here in the middle of this presentation about the kelim that they took in spoils from Midjan? And the Mishnah at the end of Masechta Avodah Zarah, which is the second source on your page, says that halokeach kli tashmish min ha'ovdei kochavim, if you buy, lokeach means buy, mekach is to purchase, and in this case kli tashmish, we don't know what kli tashmish means, it sounds like a generic term that could include even a scissors that you use to cut or to shear the wool off the back of a sheep, min ha'ovdei kochavim, you bought it from a guy, is Esha Darko Lahatbil Yatbil Lahagil Yagil Labin Ba'or Yulabin Ba'or. So the Mishnah has three categories here. The first category is Tevila, which means in a mikvah. The second category is Hagola, which means in boiling hot water. And the third category is Labin Ba'or, to actually place it into the fire. And the Mishnah goes on to give us cases of classical types of kelim that require libun. And it's shpud, the askala, these are all types of knives, and or what we call in English a spit. You know, when you roast something over an open fire, you put that kind of piece of metal inside of it, to a rotary or whatever you want to call it. And because the absorption is directly through fire, therefore it requires libun. Then the Gemara quotes a brisa, if you skip a few lines. Tana, we learned that a brisa, v'kulam tzrichim tvila be'arboim saw. All three categories of kelim, meaning even those that you subjected to hagola or to libun, which means that you were maflit the blia, so you got any absorption was removed. Nevertheless, even those kelim need tvila. They have to be taken to the mikvah. So basically, when the Torah sandwiches in this vitayer in between libun and hagola, that vitayer applies to all the kelim that we took from the goyim. Minani mili, Amar Rava di Amar Kra, Kol Davar Shayavo Ba'esh Tavir Ba'esh Vitaher. And the obvious question, why did the Torah add the word Vitaher? If it came into contact with fire, and you now subjected it to fire, that should be sufficient. No, the Torah says Vitaher. Hosif Lecha Kosuf Tahara Cheres. The Torah added a requirement of Tahara. And how does this Tahara get achieved? Tani Bar Kapora, I might think that just like we have with regard to Tumah, in the most severe cases we need Hazah, that's on the third and the seventh day. Do we need that also on Kalim? Tamad lomar ach chilek. The word ach always separates it to miut. In Kain ma tamad lo b'mei nida. So what is the Torah telling me? If it's not the same halacha as Tuma Vitara, which requires Hazah. So what kind of halacha is it? What does the Torah require in order to achieve Tahara? Ma Talmud Lomer V'mei Nida Mayim Shenida Tovel Samavi Omer Arboim Sa. So you have to take this kli, which you acquired from the Goy, and you have to subject it to Tefillah in a mikvah of 40 Sa. And if you fast forward a few lines, Amar Rav Nachman, Afilu Kelim Chadoshim B'mashma. Even if the kli was never used. Now, how does Rav Nachman know to draw this conclusion? I buy a new kli from a non-Jew, and I have to take it to mikvah v'toyer. And the answer is, because since the Torah requires tara, even though I've already subjected the kli to both, or either, hagola or libun, is that yeshanim v'libnon kechadoshim dami. What difference does it make whether it's brand new, or it's a kli that was used by the goy? It has a bli of nevelus and trefus, but I took out the bli through libun. It's, for all intents and purposes, a brand new kli. V'afilu haki, yet nevertheless, the Torah requires what? Tevila. So we see that new kelim require tevila. Maskif lo Rav Sheshes, if that be the case, haki, let's read the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, halokech kli tashmish, meaning the Torah wants us to take every kli that we get from a guy when it comes into the possession of a Jew and somehow subject it to this process of tara. If that be the case, afilu zuzi de sarvel anami, maybe when we purchase a scissors which is used to shear the wool off the back of a sheep, that also comes under kli tashmish, which is also included in this parasha. Amale, no. Look at the parasha. Kli seud amur b'parasha. The Torah went out of its way to deliberately sandwich this requirement of v'toyer into the structure of Libun and Agol in order to teach us that just like Libun and Agol apply to Klei Suda, so too the Halakha V'Toyer applies to Klei Suda. So if I go into a store in Chutzlaritz and I buy a pair of scissors, I am not required to be Toivel unless it's a Klei Suda. Now, let's say I use the scissors to cut, you know, they have not special scissors for cutting food, that's a whole different story. Then it becomes a Klei Suda. Now keep your finger, so to speak, I don't mean that literally, on the place. And now I want you to fast forward to see how this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. This is on page 3. And the Shulchan Aruch at the end of the first chelik of Yoredeya, that's in Siman Kuf Chav, Hakone me'ovde kochavim klei se'uda. A person purchases from a non-Jew a utensil that's used specifically for food, shel matechos, it's made of metal, and then he writes o shel zchuchis, or if it's glass, and we'll see about that in the next line in the Gemara, o kelim ha-metzupim bi-ever mi-bifnim, which means that he used to add a layer of metal on the inside. And why is it important that it's on the inside, Rabbi Osei? Can you think of why it's got to be on the inside? Because it has a contact with the food. Afol pishem chadoshim, they're brand new. They were never used. Tzorech lat bilam de mikvah. O b'mayin shalar boim sol. So this is the basis and the source for the mitzvah of tefilas kelim. Now when I say it's a mitzvah, the questions that we're going to have to address are, number one, is it a mitzvah d'oraisa? And the impression you get from the Gemara is that the answer is yes. It's straight out of the pasuk in Parshas Matot. And secondly, is it just a mitzvah, or is there also an isur, a prohibition, to use the kli before tefillah? And that's going to be a basic issue here, because one way of looking at tefillah's kelim is say, okay, when I get around to it, I'll take it to the mikvah. The other way is to say, no, the Torah doesn't allow you to use this kli up until you do, before you do the tefillah b'mikvah. Now, is tefillah b'mikvah a kashrus law? Not really, but yet it is. I mean, it is in the sense that it belongs to what you're allowed to use, what you're allowed to cook in, and so forth and so on. But it's not a kashrus law, because everybody agrees that, let's say I took this kli that needs tefillah and I cooked in it. Can I eat the food that was cooked in a pot that was purchased from a guy and was not subject to tefillah? Everybody says you're allowed to eat it. In other words, it's not like this kli has some sort of blias iser in it, which is polate into the food. That's not the case. Now, interesting, if you look in the Taz here on your page 3.
Here it sounds like even if I you know, just got, you know, a wedding gift of new dishes that I don't ever plan on using, do I still have to do tefillah on them?
Probably not. Because it's only because it's a kli suda, and if you don't have any intention of using it, it's not a kli suda. Mm-hmm. In fact, what we're going to see soon in the Shulchan Aruch is that if a person buys kelim and they could be used for food, but he designates it for something else that's not a food, it's not a function for food, he doesn't need tefillah. The big question is going to be restaurants, because they buy these kelim not to eat from, but to rent them out to you. I mean, you're going to pay to use mm-hmm. them, whether you. But I just wanted to point out to you the Taz on the left side on the top of page 3. He says v'tama tvila kedeshe yetsu mitumaso shel ovdei kochavim likdushaso shel Yisrael. It's fascinating because this is what you call pasach v'kad v'siyim v'chav. It's like he opens up with the concept of the tuma, but he closes with the concept of kedusha. And frankly, I would put the emphasis on the sefer, not on the reisha, meaning this is not a halacha of tara and tuma as much as it's a halacha of kedusha. But there's an overlap here between tara and kedusha. The Torah says v'toyer, and the Ritva points out that the ultimate goal is kedusha, sanctity. Where do we find, my friends, a precedent for taking kelim and sanctifying them? Correct. And that's called klei sharis. And the klei sharis have to be absolutely tar, and the reason for that is because to sanctify them for the purpose of going al shulchan gavoah, so to speak, the shulchan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you could say that, we also have an equation between our shulchan and the shulchan gavoah. Where do we find halachas that parallel what goes on in the Beis HaMikdash? Melach, what else?
Shtelachim.
Shtelachim, maybe, that's a pretty good idea. What else?
Chametz
B'dvash?
You're not allowed to put it. You're not allowed to
bring
them
as
fast. Oh. And what does that have to do with our table? We have similar laws in our table? That I don't know. I'm looking for similarities that parallel what went on in the Beis HaMikdash. Salt, maybe shtel lechem, possibly. What else? A knife? What would you say you don't put on the table?
You don't put your feet on the table.
Your feet? Is that what you said?
Yeah, you don't sit
okay,
on
I'm
the
sorry,
table.
I didn't hear you. Yeah. Well, you have to treat your shulchan with respect. The Gemara says that now the Beis HaMikdash is gone, shulchano shel adam mechaper lo. The substitute for the mizbeach is our shulchan. With regard to mizbeach, the halach is lo yonif. There's an iser of putting a sword or a knife on the mizbeach, because the mizbeach is meant to give us life, which the sword is used to cut down life. So too, we cover our knives, at least when we bench, you know, there's got to be some cue to it. What else, Aaron? You mentioned something else?
Korban Pesach. We eat it at the table.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Okay, maybe. That could be possible. Now, where did the Taz get this from? If you take a look on your page 2, you'll see this in the Chidushei Ritva. The Ritva says, Pirish B'Yushalmi, Lefi She'yotzu, Mitum asam shel nachrim likdushaso shel Yisrael. Adkan. So the basis for the Taz is Yerushalmi quoted by the Ritva. Now I wanted to ask you the following question: Is the Tahar Vitayer Parsha Doraisa or Dorabbana? And take a look at Tosfos here on page 1. He says in Avodah Zarah and Daf Ayin Heyamid Beis. Dibra Maskel Mayim, it's the third Tosfos in the fifth parak of Avodah Zarah called Tasokas HaPoel. And he says there that Afal Gav Derevius Sagi Lahatbil Machtin Vitzinoros Midoraisa Hainu Tfilis Tuma Avot Tfilis Klei Midjan Chidushu Uboy Arboimsa. He says that small Kalim can be subject, if they contracted tumor, can be subjected to tara with a smaller amount than 40 saw. But tefillas kelim has its own requirement based on the parsha in the Torah, and that is 40 saw. What impression do you get from this Tosfos when he compares the normal dinim of tumor to this special din of tara and kelim?
That's not a din of tumor.
Is it Doraisa or Darabon? That's my question to you. What impression do you get?
Yeah, he's,
It's Doraisa. You see, he's saying even though other dinim Doraisa, in order to achieve Tara, all we need is a smaller amount of revius. So you could take a machat, right? That, let's say, contracted tumor, and put it into a revius of mayim and be metayer it. But in the case of Kalim, the Torah wants you to place it into a mikvah. And that would also seem to be the opinion of the Ramban. If you take a look again in the Ritva, on the second page, he says the following. In the second paragraph, he says, Hiksha Rabbeinu Aramban Zal Da Mashma De Tfila Zu Da Oraisa Hi. De Lo Mashma De Levi Hanekroi Asmachta De Rabbanan. He says, from the fact that the Gemara goes through all the drushos and guarantees that we need every single word in this parsha, it sounds like we're dealing with the Doraisa, says the Ramban, and not with some sort of a, what does he call it, an asmachta de Rabbanan, where there's a din de Rabbanan that's connected to a pasuk. Now, fascinating is to learn what is the Rambam shita on Tevilas Kelim. If you'll see this on the top left of page 2, the Rambam writes, this is Perek Yud Zayin Milchus Yisurei Bia, the Rambam writes, Halokeach kli tashmish su'uda min ha'akum, if it's mikli matechos, o kli zchuchios, dvarim shel neshtamish b'hem, it was never used, matbilim b'mei mikvah, v'achar kach yu mutarim lechol b'hem v'lishtos. What does the Rambam sound like? It's a matir. Do you see how the Rambam says it? He says, v'achar kach, and afterwards yu mutarim lechol v'lishtos, meaning before you're not allowed to use it. And then he goes on with the dinim of blia and removing the blia sisur. Then in halacha hey, he writes tvila zusha matvilim klei suda el kochem et haakum yakach yivosu yutru lachil shtia eino leinyan tumah v'tara. This is not identical with the laws of tumah v'tara. Ela mi divrei sofrim. My friends, what does that sound like? What? It sounds like a din d'rabbanan, correct? But take a look at the Kesef Mishnah. Do you see the Kesef Mishnah's public? It's printed right there below. And the Kesef Mishnah quotes a Chuvas HaRajba who writes the following. Umashe kasavta shetfilas kelim midrabbanan lo kula modim bo. Not everyone agrees that tefillas came as Drabbanan. In fact, we haven't seen a single sheet that says that tefillas came as only Drabbanan.
Yeah.
The Ritva says it's, and quoting the Ramban, it's Doraisa. The Rambam seems to assume, maybe the Rambam holds it's Drabbanan. He says, no. Midivrei Rambam yireh shehu sovor shehi midoraisa. And that's Pashti the Shmaiti the Shili Avodah Zorach Imash Metfei. So the Kesef Mishnah asks a question, he implies the question, how could the Rambam be interpreted by the Rashba as talking about Tefillas Kelim D'Oraisa when the Rambam writes Midivrei Sofrim? And the Kesef Mishnah, in order to defend the Rashba, he says, look at the next line in the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Umipi Hashmua Lamadnu She'eino Medaber Ela B'Taharosam, etc., etc. So the fact that the Rambam used the term Midivrei Shmua, that sounds like a Doraisa. But nevertheless, what about the opening line in the Rambam where he presents it as Midivrei Sofrim? So the truth of the matter is, Rabosai, the phrase in the Rambam, Midivrei Sofrim, is what I call one of these like loaded phrases. Like the Rambam, for example, opens up Hilchos Ishus and he says, Haisha nicknames Bekesef Shtar Ubiya, and then he writes, Bekesef Midivrei Sofrim. What does that mean, Midivrei Sofrim?
Tomorrow.
Correct. So how could it be that the Rambam classifies Kiddushei Kesef as Divrei Sofrim? So the scholars on the Rambam have written like volumes on this. And basically the theory is, this thesis is presented by the Kesef Mishnah at the beginning of Tumah V'Tara, of Avos HaTumah, that whenever the Rambam uses the term Midivrei Sofrim, what he means is it's not explicit in the Pasuk. The Sofrim derive it through Torah Shemal Peh, but it's Doraisa. And that's what I think the Rashba is saying over here, according to the Rambam, with regard to Tfilas Kalim, that Tfilas Kalim is Deorais. Now, what difference does it make, practically speaking, whether Tfilas Kalim is Deoraisa or Derabbanan? What do you say?
Safek.
Okay, excellent. Safek. What else? Let me mention to you a sugya in Masechta Pesachim on Daf Daled. You're all familiar with this sugya. Bedikas Chometz. Can you send a child to do Bedikas Chometz? Technically, again, I'm not. Again, there are all sorts of issues halacha lemaisa, but technically, according to the Dina de Talmud, Dina de Gemara,
yes.
Why? Because Bedikas Chometz is the Rabban. And that principle is called Heim Amru Veheim Amru, meaning whenever the Rabbanan institute something, they can decide what the parameters and the details are.
So could a parent send a child to go to Tfilas Kalim?
Exactly. And take a look, if you will, on page 5, page 4. That should be the last page.
This could be Dad, Rabbi. I did a lot of tefillah when I was younger.
Okay. So take a look at the at what it says over here. It says the following. This is on the top of page 4. Do you have it? Kuf Chaf Sifkat Yudalit. Says the Mechaber, Ein Ma'aminim Katan Al Tfilas Kalim. What shita does the Mechaber seem to reflect? Doraisa Drabana. Doraisa. Which is the way the Kesef Mishnah, the same author, quoted the Rashba in the Rambam. And it all fits into place. Comes along the Rambam and he says, Avalim tavlu lifnei gadol havi tefillah. That sounds like a whole different halacha. The Rambam seems to be assuming that tefillas kalim might be derabbanan, just that we don't trust the katan that he did the proper tefillah. But if we have a gadol who saw the katan doing the tefillah, then it's okay. The mechaber, I don't know. You're not sure in the mechaber. Take a look at the Taz. The Taz says on this mechaber, lefisha tefillas kalim doraisa. And then he wants to square with the Trumas Hadesh with this Ramah to say that even though Tfilas Kalim is Doraisa, nevertheless, if the Gadol supervises the Katan, then the Maisa Tvila of the Katan is meaningful, it's valid. And basically, we can compare it to Shechita, maybe even Ksivas Get. There are many cases where a Katan, if he's supervised, that's called Gadol Omid Al Gabav, his Maisa is considered valid even for Dinim Doraisa. But I want you to notice here the Be'er Agola all the way on the left. Do you see that on the top? Page 4. He quotes the Trumas Hadesh. He says, Kevin the Tfilas Kalim Doraisa Lo Mehi Minanle. We can't trust the Katan like we do for Bedikas Chametz, which is only Darabonim, because Tfilas Kalim is Doraisa, but nevertheless, if the Gadol is Omid Al-Gabov, that's sufficient and that's valid. Now, I wanted to ask you about glass. Okay, if we go back to the Gemara that we started with on page 1, the Gemara says the following. Omar of Ashi, Hani kleis chuchis, these glassenware, hoil since v'chi nishtabru, if they break, yeshlam takona. Now, I'm not an expert on glassmaking, but it seems like you could take broken chips of glass, reheat them, again, tremendous heat.
It melts,
and then you can reform the kli. In that sense, it's very similar to a kli matechas, because a kli matechas, you can mold it and shape it with heat. And therefore, ki kli matechos damu, it has the same status as a kli matechos, and therefore, it's chayev in tefillah. Okay? But the question is this tefillah d'oraisa or tefillah d'rabbana? When you go back to the parasha, what impression do you get? Yeah, it's not a kli matechas, and therefore it would not be d'oraisa. But rather, it's d'rabbana. So if we swing back to the case of a katan, would a katan be able to be my messenger, my shliach, to take a kli schuchis and put it into the mikvah for me?
Even without
Omer HaGavah. Because in the case of kli schuchis, it's only Durabbanan. And this is in the Pisrei Tshuva, which is on page 3. He says the following. You see three lines below the end of the section that's photocopied. Do you have that? It's kedai to see it inside. He says, I may have put an arrow there. Did it didn't come out? You're on page, are you on page 3?
Yeah.
So it's the first Pesachei Teshuva, not the second one. Here, I thought I put an arrow there, but I guess I didn't. And he says over there, he says, Kleis Chuchis, the Tfiloso Vadai Himid Rabbonon, again, it's very small, I don't know if you can make it out. Okay, and that's the distinction that he makes between Klei Zchuchus and other kinds of Kelim, to Laharbe Poskim Humina Torah. Okay, his Nafkemina, he doesn't speak, address the question of a Katan head on, but I think it makes sense. He has a question about certain types of Mikvos, which are only acceptable Midrabbanan. Yeah, for that you have to be a Baki in Mikvos, you have to know about Shelig and what the status of Shelig is. That's a whole discussion. But one thing is clear, that the Pesachei Teshuva says, even though many poskim hold that Tefilas Kelim is Doraisa, that seems to be the bulk, the primary sheet, but nevertheless, Klei Zchuchis is only Derabbanan.
Is this why we're more, sometimes, like Sephardim at least, the more Mekel on glass for Kashrus than...
Oh, I don't know about Kashrus. Kashrus is a whole different story. That has to do with whether Zchuchis is called Shi'i, Shin Yud Ayin He, which means it has something like a smooth surface and the food doesn't penetrate inside the surface. That has to do with Blia, not with Tefilas Kelim. And by the way, let me play a game with you here, just a pedagogic game. Are you going to make a bracha on Tefilas Klei Zchuchis according to Pesachei Teshuva Tzolim Derabbanan Asher Kitshanu Mitzvosa V'Tzivanu?
Well, yeah.
For sure not, right? You can't make a bracha on a mitzvah d'rabbanan, can you?
Of course you can.
Of course you can. Yeah, who can give me examples of a bracha on a mitzvah d'rabbanan?
Esther.
Yeah, morar bizman as what else? What do you say? Ner Chanukah, Bikur Megillah. What about lulav? Well, Yom Rishon, because the only mitzvah d'oraisa of lulav is only the first day. Yet we make a bracha all the days of the chag. The answer is that was takanas from Yochum and Zakai, and we make a bracha on a mitzvah d'rabbanan. The only question I have is Korach. I don't know if you make a bracha on Korach. Korach l'chor is also a mitzvah d'rabbanan. The Gemara says zeichel migdash, so I don't know why you don't make a bracha on that. Okay, fine. But Tefilas Kelim requires a bracha, even Klei Zchuchis. Some people are machmir when they take metal and glass to the mikvah. They make a bracha on the metal. I know, to me that's a chumrah. It's a nice chumrah, but I don't see that you have to go that far. Because even a mitzvah d'rabbanan requires a bracha. Now, what I want to know is, are you allowed to use the kli before you take it to the mikvah? So take a look at Tosus here on page 1.
But here, if you're not sure if you made a bracha, you wouldn't. Because it's Safek Brachas, right?
That's true for both Doraisas and Rabbanans. You know, that wouldn't make any difference. L'chora, I mean. Now take a look at Tosvis, Dibra Maska V'Kulon, which is on the bottom of your page 1. Now, Tosvis is commenting on the Gemara is about 5 lines up from the bottom of the page. And the Gemara quotes 2 opinions. V'Kulon Shenishtamish Ben Ad shelo yatbil. What happens if he used the kli before he took it to the mikveh? So if the brisa had terminated at that moment, then I think the answer would be simple. Everything's mutter because, as we said at the outset, tefilas kelim is not a kashrus issue. It's not a question of blias isur of tam geek or anything like that. It's only an issue of tara. And it's a mitzvah to be tovil. But the problem is that the Brisa quotes Tani Chada Asur. But the answer to that might be, if you go back to the Brisa, I skip 2 words, or I speak 4 words, I skip. It says like this, V'kulu shenishtamish ben ad shelo yatbil, v'shelo yagil v'shelo yalbin, yalabin. In other words, he used the kli before Hagola or Limud. And therefore there's a plitas isur, and therefore I know why it's awesome. So Tosus wants to know, well, why did this brisa add the words kodem Achalo yatbiu. He says lamanda toni muter. Nokat shapir achalo yatbiu. Okay, avlamanda toni asur. So why is it asur if it's adlo yatbiu? Tosus says ain lesser. Don't misunderstand this brisa and draw the conclusion that in nishtamish bokonim tefila it's asur. But then the question is, so why did the brisa add the words ad shelo yatbil? And therefore I think Tosus gives a mihu here in which he's trying to cover his bases here. Umihu ikal member the gozer otu kodim agol felivu. That the Rabbanan made a gzera, and they said like this, if we're going to allow you to use this kli that you purchased from a goy, let's take the example of clay midge, we took it in the spoils of the war. If we'll allow you to use it before you take it to mikvah, then you're going to make, and we're going to say that everything that you cooked in the pot is mutter, you will begin to think, mistakenly, that even if you took it, and even if you used it for cooking, meaning in a kashrus issue where there was blias isur, where the guy used the kli, and you haven't yet subjected the kli neither to libun nor to agola, then it's mutter. So they made a blanket isur. And they said, midrabanan, just like it's us if you use the kli before libun and before agola, it's us if you use it before tefillah. That's the second answer to Tosus. So basically, Tosus is vacillating back and forth. And let's see how there are more paskins on this very, very important question. And this is on page 3. And the Ramah says, "Asur lishtamish." Okay, so we're here on the bottom of page 3, and he says the following: "Yesh misha omer." This is the Mechaber, and then we'll see the Ramah. "Yesh misha omer sheim lo lakcho harishon litzarch suda el lachto klofim v'chayotzibo ein tzarch tvila." So Reuven buys the kli, but he's not going to use it to cut meat. He's going to use it to cut something which is not food stuff at all. And therefore, says the Mechaber, ein tzarch tvila. Says the Ramah, harishon osu lishtamish bo litzarchei su'uda, afilu derech aroi b'lo tvila. Afal pisha lakho litzarch klofim. So if you bought it from a guy for the purpose of non-food, you're not allowed to use the kli for food, despite the fact that your intention when you bought it was to use it for klofim, lachto klofim. But the very fact that the Ramah uses this terminology, also lishtamish bo litzarch suda afilu derech haroy, a lot of people mistakenly think, okay, I'll use it once or twice, and then I'll take it to the mikvah. But this Ramah is going as far as to say that even derech haroy, on a temporary basis, I'm not allowed to use the kli until I take it to what? Until I take it to the mikvah.
I think that nowadays, that's when you buy a coffee, right? So it comes in just like a glass jar. Right. You can use it the first time, but if you want to keep on using it the second,
oh,
cool. So
that's an excellent question. I have that later on, and I don't think I gave that out to you. But the question is, when I buy a kli from a guy because it contains something, you know, he's only giving it to me as a container, but I purchase it, does that need tefillah? Some posts are going to go very far. They're going to say empty everything out before you use the kli. Other posts are going to go to the other extreme, and they're going to say you're allowed to actually heat up your food while it's in the kli. This is a whole shayla of tzantzenet and kufsot and all this stuff. What?
Yeah, glass jars. People, like, you know, you get a glass jar of olives and whatever.
Right, mayonnaise, Hellman's mayonnaise. I mean, we use those jars all the time. And they're made of glass. You know.
I heard that the heter is that, okay, so you're not allowed to use it even once. You have to tell about it right away. Thing is, you have to empty it out in order to tell about it. So what's the difference if you empty it all out in one shot? Or if you empty it out a spoonful at a time, let's say coffee.
But then you can't reuse it until you take it to me.
You wouldn't be able to reuse it.
You know these things called broiler foils, you know, where you act, they're disposable, but people want to use them again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is whether or not they have to take it to the mikvah. Because disposable kelim don't need tefillah, because they're not makabel tumah. But now you have designated it for reuse, you don't want to throw it out. So some poskim will say that when you bought it as it was sold to you as a disposable kli. Here too, when you buy a mayonnaise jar of Hellman's mayonnaise, it's not really the glass jar is not being sold to you as a kli suda. It's only being given to you as a kli otzar. Oh, kli otzar means something for storage purposes that doesn't need tefillah. That's the only way they can hand over to you the mayonnaise, right?
Open up your hat.
Right. And therefore, even though you reuse the kli now, as you've taken out all the mayonnaise and you decide you want to recycle it and use it for whatever, we use it for salad dressing we put inside and so forth, nevertheless, it doesn't need tefillah, because if it didn't need tefillah when you bought it, then you yourself, the Jew, made it into a kli. And it wasn't made into a kli by the guy. Well, just give me one more minute, because I got... Oh, yeah. So, I know we have to end now. Just take a look at the Bir Halacha, and then, Aaron, if you have a minute to stay. The Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah, is on page 4. And he says that there are many different explanations. One second. All right, just give me a second. I'm sorry, I wanted to get this in before the bell rings. But of course, my head got a little... Oh, so the question is, let's say you have a kli that requires tefillah, and before Shabbos, before Yontif, you didn't get a chance to be tovel the kli. And the question is, are you allowed to be tovel the kli on Shabbos and Yontif? So what malach is involved in tefillah's kelim? Which of the 39 malachas?
Tikkun Mana.
Okay, yeah. Well, one second. Leave out Tikkun Mana. You're too brilliant for me. I'm not as brilliant as you are. Just go slow. L'chorah, there's no malach involved. I mean, it's just like washing dishes. You know, what's wrong with tefillas kelim? So if you look at the Mechaber in Shin Chaf Gimel, which is Hilchas Shabbos, he writes, Mutal lahatvil kli chadash haton tefillah. So in his first opinion quoted here in the Mechaber, he doesn't blink about it. What are you, Sir Malach, are you involved in? V'yesh osrim. Now he brings, wait a minute, let's go slowly. And now he brings, Okay, I'm sorry, for you this is old stuff, but for me it's very new. So now he brings the second opinion that says Yesh Osrim. So if you look in the Bir Halacha, he writes the following. Yesh Osrim, Tam Elu Shtei Dosu B'Mesech De Beitze, here's your sugya on Daf Yud Ches. Good thing I didn't ask you what Daf, you would have told me. The Amir Lekuli Alma Oso Lahatbil Klei Tomei Afil Biyontif. So you're not allowed to take a kli that contracted tumah and put it into the mikvah on Yontif. And certainly not on Shabbos. And we have to now analyze the reason for that and see if those reasons apply to tefillas kelim. And he says the following. Rava says, Gzera Shem Yavirenu Dalet Amos Bishus Rav. Okay, should that apply on Shabbos and Yontif as well? Well, at least on Shabbos, yes, and on Yontif, not. Rabbi Yossi says, the Tam Shem Yischot. Now, Schita is mutter on Yontif. It's one of the Okal Nefesh Malachas. So if the problem is Shemi Yischot, because he's going to dry the kli and then squeeze out the water or whatever it might be, that shouldn't apply to Tefillas Kelim. Rabbi Bibi says, no relation to our political leader here, Shemi Yasha HaKli Militovlo Adzman Yontif. We don't want to let people wait until Yontif to do this Tircha of Tefillas Kelim. And finally, Rava says, Nirikim Esakin Mona. That it comes under Makar B'Patish. The Rif quotes La Halacha, the logic of Rav Yosef. And he says, therefore, and Rav Bibi, right, which is Shema Yishak Kli, he says, Memela, Lefi Elu Shnei Atamim Muto Lahatvil Kli Chadash. So my friends, if you would ask me whether I could take a new Kli to the mikvah on Shabbos and Yontif, according to the Bir Halacha, the Rif would allow it. Because although the Gemara has a long list of possible reasons, the two reasons that the Rif isolates are not relevant because, number one, we're not afraid that you're going to delay all of this. You know, that's only if you have a whole backlog of kalim that were makabel tumah. Here it's a new kli that you happen to come into your possession. That's the way the Bir Halacha understands it. Or if you take the time of Rav Yosef, Shemi Yischot v'gazrin kalim delav b'nei schita to kalim b'nei schita, that shouldn't apply, at least not on Yontif, because there's no Isur schita on Yontif. Then he writes off a lot of Rush, if you fast forward. The Rush disagrees with the Rif. Pasuk Kitama de Rabba Urav, that means either Gzeira Shemi Avirenu Dalad Amis, which would certainly apply on Shabbos, or alternatively because of Tikkun Mana, which would apply on both Shabbos and Yontif. He says, Zatam Shaykh Gam Bekli Chadosh. Why? Just like you have a Kli, which is Mekabel Tumi, you can't use it until you put it into the mikvah. So too, you buy a new Kli from a guy, you can't use it until you put it into the mikvah. And therefore, you're fixing up the Kli, Al Pi Halacha, that's called Tikkun Mana, by taking it to the mikvah. And he says that applies even to a Kli Schuchis, even though the tefillah is only Dirabbanan, it's all going to be awesome. So basically, the two opinions in the Mechaber, the Yesh Matir, the Yesh Ostrim, depend upon which of the four reasons are accepted why Tara B'mikvah of Kalim Tmeim is prohibited. Oh, now he says, why is it Tikkun Mana? So if you look at the first of the wide lines of the Bir Halacha, he writes, Kevan di afim yishtamish ba kli b'li tefila gam kein eina machal neser b'dieved l'kuli alma. He says, maybe I could argue with you that it's not really Tikkun Mana. Tikkun Mana means that it's right now it's not usable. But here, it is usable. Although on the one hand, the halacha is I'm not allowed to use it until I'm tovelit. But on the other hand, if I went in and I used it, then b'dieved the food is mutter. So it's in that quasi state. And one could argue ostensibly that's not called Tikkun Mana, the shame kli and its function is still there, even though I'm obligated to take it to the mikvah.
But it does lack something.
Right. So that's what he's vacillating back and forth, this Bir Halacha. Is that called Tikkun Mana? You see, in the case of Tumah V'Tahara, if you use the kli when it's tummy, then all the contents of it you put into the kli become, they contract Tumah. But here, when you cook in a kli chadash, the food remains mutter, and therefore, to some extent, even before tefillah, the kli is still usable. And that's where he vacillates back and forth. Basically,
you are saying something over here, right?
What do you say?
The reason why you're taking it to because there's something here that you need, right? There's something that wasn't good before, and now you want to make it good.
Right, but kli mana means to in order to violate the iser of makav patish of what's called tikkun mana, you need to create a new object that wasn't functional until this point. There's also another kind of tikkun mana, which is the last step in the process of the umman of the umnus. You know, but that's a bekitzer. What I just wanted to let you know is, and this is my punchline for today. Again, there's a lot more to discuss on Tfilas Kalim. I'd love to give you a whole series on it if you'd be interested, but be that as it may, what happens is that there are two ways of reading V'tayer. One way of reading V'tayer is you have a mitzvah to be tovel the kli. The other way of reading the pasuk is to say the kli itself is asur v'shimush. You're not allowed to use the kli for suda until V'tayer. The tayer is a matir. And you remember the language of the Rambam that we started with, and that was on page 2. And the Rambam says that Halokeh kli tashmish sudim v'nakmi kli matbilin b'mei mikvah v'acher kach yu mutarim. The Rambam is outspoken that the mitzvah of v'tayer generates an iser that you're not allowed to use the kli until after the tefillah. If that be the case, you're more inclined to think that there might be a tikkun mana problem on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If on the other hand, I assume no, the kli is mutta, I can use it as much as I want, but I have a special mitzvah, chovas gavra, if you will, to be mekayim the mitzvah v'toyer and take it to the mikvah. But whenever I get a chance, that's a whole different situation. Okay, then. All right. If there are any questions,
isn't it mutta in this case? Because really, like it has no use until you take it too.
Right. So like, again, if we're saying that you have a separate mitzvah to be tovel it, then it's not mukzah. If you're saying that it's usher to use it the way the Rambam formulates it until you take it to the mikveh, then look, or you might have a mukzah problem.
Mm.
But then again, what's the status of tevel?
Mm.
Tevel, the Gemara says, is not mukzah, even though I can't eat it until after afrosha.
Interesting.
And I can't do the afrosha on Shabbos and Yontif, but since it lends itself to afrosha, it's not really inherently awesome. It's kind of biyado kind of concept, you know. Here too,
because here's
even
not,
though
here's
I'm not
biyado,
allowed to use the kli, let's say until I take it to mikvah,
yeah.
But I don't know if it's mukta because I can take it to the
mikvah. But there, to be mafresh, like you don't need anything. Like you have everything.
Whereas in the case of the mikvah, you need a mikvah?
You need a mikvah, yeah. It's not really biyado, it's like tali to something.
But let's say you have a mikvah, you know, it's awesome.
Yeah. Yes.